Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in Monday morning, 10/21/2013, 7:30. I love mornings. This is What's Your Ruth. Here, there, and everywhere. Had a wonderful weekend. It was beautiful in Oregon. Nice. Really sunny. Not all that warm, but really sunny. Everybody worked their little selves to death, and all the hunters, it's hunting season. Hunters went out and had a great weekend hunting. I had a friend that went out hunting and had a great time. Came home yesterday afternoon and had a couple of young men parked at the end of my driveway. They had those little name tags on that said Deacon, I think it was, Deacon la-di-da-di-da or whatever. And, you know, they wanted to talk to me and tell me something about their religion. And I told them that they couldn't tell me anything that I wanted to know, but I could teach them something. They just wanted to talk to me about their deal, so then when I refused to listen to their deal, they asked me if there was any work that they could do for me here. I said no. I had my daughter here helping me, sweeping my valleys and cleaning my gutters out on my roof and helping me around, and I didn't want anyone here, especially under a pretense like that, taking advantage of somebody's need to create their works grace. Because works grace doesn't work. Works grace doesn't work at all. Not at all. There is only one thing that works. That's going to work, did work, and ever will work. And that is this. What is faith? It is the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. It is the certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us, even though we can't see it up ahead. Men of God in days of old were famous for their faith. By faith in believing God, we know that the world and the stars, in fact, all things were made at God's command, and that they were all made from things that can't be seen. Yes. Things that cannot be seen. It was by faith that Abel obeyed God and brought an offering that pleased God more than Cain's offering did. God accepted Abel and proved it by accepting his gift. And though Abel is long dead, we can still learn lessons from him about how to trust God. By faith, Isaac knew God would give future blessings to his two sons, Jacob and Esau. It was by faith that Joseph, as he neared the end of his life, confidently spoke of God bringing his people Israel out of Egypt. It was by faith that Rahab the harlot, did not die because she believed in God and she believed in her power with him. And all of the others in her household, they did not die either. For she had just that much faith. And since we have the world watching us, our faith, keep your eyes on Jesus, because he's the instructor. And the Word of God is the schoolmaster also. Keep yourselves wrapped tightly around these 2 feet And then you can run a good race because you have two legs. One day, the wife of one of the seminary students came to Elisha to tell him of her husband's death. He was a man who had loved God, she said. But he had owed some money when he died, and now the creditors were demanding it back, and she didn't have it. And if she didn't pay up, they were going to take her two sons as slaves. What shall I do? Elisha asked her, how much food do you have in the house? She said, nothing at all. I just have this little tiny amount of olive oil. And he said, well, go around to your neighbors and ask them for pots and containers. And go into your house with your sons and then shut the door and pour the olive oil from your jar into the pots and pans, setting them aside as they filled. So she did. And her sons brought the pots and pans to her, and she filled one after another, after another, after another, after another, after another, till there weren't any more. And then the prophet said, go sell the oil, pay your debt, for there will always be enough for you, and your sons will live. It is true. Just so much faith. This man, he must be a prophet. Make room for him up on the roof. And once he was resting in the room, he said to his servant, hey, Sai, tell the woman I want to speak to her. When she came in, he said to Hesai, tell her that we appreciate her kindness. Now ask her what we can do for her. Does she want me to put in a good word to the king or to the general of the army? No, I'm fine. What can we do for you? He asked. She said, nothing. Well, he said, well, she doesn't have her son, and her husband is a very old man. Call her back again, Elisha told him. When she returned, he talked to her. As she stood in the doorway the next year, about this time, you shall have a son. Oh, man of God, she exclaimed, don't lie to me. Don't tell me that. But it was true. The woman did conceive, and she had a baby boy in the following year, just as Elisha had predicted. One day when her child was older, he went out to visit his father, who was working with the reapers. He complained about a headache and then was moaning out in pain. His father said to his servants, take him back to his mother, and he took him home, and his mother held him on her lap, but he soon died. She carried her son back to the bed of the prophet and said, shut the door. She sent the message to her husband, send one of the servants and a donkey so that I can hurry to the prophet and tell him to come back right away. He said, why today? This isn't a religious holiday, but she said, it's important, I must go. So she saddled the donkey and said to the servant, hurry, don't slow down for my comfort unless I tell you. Now she approached Mount Carmel. Elisha saw her in the distance and said to Hesai, look, that woman from Shunem is coming. Run and meet her and ask her what the trouble is. See if her husband is all right and if her child is well. Yes, she told Hesai, everything is fine. But when she came to Elisha at the mountain, she fell to the ground before him and caught hold of his feet. His eye began to push her away, but the prophet said, "Let her alone. Something is deeply troubling her, and the Lord hasn't told me what it is." And then she said, "It was you who said I'd have a son, and I begged you not to lie to me." And then he said to his eye, "Quick, take my staff. Don't talk to anyone along the way. Hurry, lay the staff upon the child's face." But the boy's mother said, "I swore to God that I will not go home without you." So Elisha did return to her. Hesai went ahead and laid the staff upon the child's face, but nothing happened. There was no sign of life. He returned to meet Elisha and told him the child is still dead. But when Elisha arrived, the child indeed was dead. Laying there upon the prophet's bed, he went in and shut the door behind him and prayed to the Lord. He lay upon the child's body, placing his mouth upon the child's mouth, and eyes upon the child's eyes, and hands upon the child's hands. And the child's body began to grow warm again. The prophet went down, walked back and forth in front of the house a few times, returning upstairs. He stretched himself again upon the child. This time the little child sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. And he said, "Call his mother." And she came in and he said, "Here is your son." With little faith, she saved her son. One day there was a little girl that said to her mistress, "I wish my master would go see the prophet in Samaria and he would heal him of his leprosy." Naaman told the king what the little girl had said. "Go and visit the prophet," the king told him. "I will send a letter of introduction for you to carry to the king of Israel." So Naaman started out, taking gifts of 20,000 in silver and 60,000 in gold and 10 suits of clothing. The letter of the king of Israel. "The man bringing the letter is my servant Naaman. I want you to heal him of leprosy." When the king of Israel read it, he tore his clothes and said, "This man sends me a leper to heal. Oh my God, that I can heal and give life. He's only trying to get an excuse to invade us again." But when Elisha the prophet heard about the king of Israel's plight, he sent this message to him, "Why are you so upset? Send Naaman to me. He will learn that there is a true prophet of God here in Israel." So Naaman arrived with horses and chariots, and he stood at the door of Elisha's home. Elisha sent a messenger out to tell him to go and wash in the Jordan River 7 times. He would be healed. But Naaman, he refused. He walked away. He said, "I thought at least you'd come out and talk to me. I expected him to wave his hand over me and call upon this Lord, his God, to heal me. I'll wash myself in my own home and I'll get rid of my own leprosy." So he went away. He didn't listen. But his officer said, "If you went to the prophet and he told you to do this great thing, why would you have not done it? So you certainly should have obeyed him. When he simply say, 'Go and wash and be cured.'" So Naaman went down to the Jordan River and he dipped himself 7 times as the prophet had told him to do. And his flesh became as healthy as a little child's, and he was healed. Then he and his entire party went back to find the prophet. They stood humbly before him, and Naaman said, I know at last that there is no God in all of the world except in Israel. Now please accept my gifts. But Elisha replied, I swear by Jehovah, my God, that I will not accept them. Naaman urged him to take them, but he absolutely refused. Well, Naaman said, all right, but please give me 2 mule loads of earth to take back with me, for from now on I will never again offer any burnt offerings or sacrifices to any other god except the Lord. Thus, even in a foreign land, he could worship Jehovah. On Israel's soil. However, may the Lord pardon me this one thing. When my master, the king, goes into the temple of the god of Rimmon to worship there and then leans on my arm, may your Lord pardon me when I bow to you. All right, Elisha said. So Naaman started home again, but Tezai, Elisha's servant, said, my master wouldn't have let this fellow get away without taking his gifts. So I will chase after him and get something from him. So Tezai went up and caught Naaman. When Naaman saw him coming, he jumped down from his chariot and ran to meet him and said, is everything all right? He asked, yeah, but my master has sent me to tell you that 2 young prophets from the hills of Ephraim have just arrived and that he would like $2,000 in silver and 2 suits to give them. Take $4,000, Naaman insisted, and he gave him 2 expensive robes, tied up the money in bags, and gave them to his servants to carry back to Hazai. But when they arrived at the hill where Elisha lived, Hazai took the bags from the 2 servants and sent the man back. And he hid the money in his house. And when he went in to his master, who was Elisha, Elisha asked him, hey, Zai, where have you been? Hey, Zai said, I haven't been anywhere. But Elisha asked him, he said, do you not realize that I was there in thought when Naaman stepped down from his chariot to meet you? Is this the time to receive money and clothing and olive farms and vineyards and sheep and oxen and servants? Because you have done this, Naaman's leprosy shall be upon you and upon your children. In your children's children forever. In Hazai, he walked from the room as a leper. His skin was as white as snow. He was a man that walked with Elisha, who was touched by God himself. And yet, the greed within his heart outweighed his faith. and it took them down all the way. Took them totally down. And here we have Naaman, who took dirt back with him just so he could worship with the ground of Israel with that little bit of faith. And the woman who went with her faith to Elisha, knowing that the healing would take place, knowing that that faith would carry them through. Yes, this is quite a wonderful thing, faith. Faith. There will be nothing to look forward to but the terrible punishment of God's awful anger, which will consume all of his enemies. You don't live in faith, reject sin, you're not covered by Christ's death. And then there's no way to get rid of it. Think about how the terrible punishment will be for those who have trampled under the foot of the Son of God, treated his cleansing blood as though it was just meaningless, unsacred, unholy. They insulted the Holy Spirit. They denied entrance and outraged and grieved the Holy Spirit, who brings God's mercy to all people. God knows whose hearts belong to him. He said, justice belongs to me, and I will repay those. I myself will handle these cases. And it is a fearful thing to fall into the living God's hands. Watch and be ready. Be sympathetic and suffer, knowing that better things await. Better things await in heaven that will be forever. And the trust in the Lord, this happy trust, never dies away no matter what happens. Patiently waiting for the will of God, just to do exactly what he has promised to do and not delay one moment. And whose faith has made everything perfect. And those who live in God's sight live in faith, trusting him in the everlasting truth. Otherwise, God will have no pleasure in them. But we have never turned our backs on God, and we have sealed our fate in faith. Our faith in him assures our souls of eternal salvation. And it is the faith that is the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. It is the certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us. Even though we can't see it ahead, Enoch trusted God. That is why God took him away to heaven without dying. Suddenly he was gone because God took him up. before this happened, God had said this would happen, and how much and how happy he was, and how Enoch had pleased him. You can't please God without faith. You can't depend on him without faith. Anyone who wants to come to God must believe that there is a God and that he rewards those who sincerely, honestly, humbly seek him day and night, day and night, day and night. Noah was another man who trusted God. He heard God's warning and believed him. His belief in God was in direct contrast to the sin and disbelief of the rest of the world, which refused to obey. And because of his faith, he became one of those whom God has accepted. And just as the prophets in the past, Abraham, Moses, Noah, Elisha, Elijah, Jacob, Joseph, Amos, Isaac, all of the prophets telling us about the trumpet blast and the awesome message that will be on the final day. This message, so terrible that the people begged God to stop speaking. But you have come right up onto Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the gathering of the countless happy heavenly angels, and to the God who is judge of all, and to the spirits of the redeemed in heaven, already made perfect, and to Jesus himself, who has brought to us his wonderful new agreement. He sprinkled us with blood graciously for forgiveness and did not cry out for vengeance. See to it that you obey him who is speaking to you. For if the people of Israel did not escape when they refused to listen to Moses, the earthly messenger, how terrible our danger is. If we refuse to listen to God who speaks to us from heaven, continue to love each other, true brotherly love. And don't forget to be kind to strangers, for some who have done this have even entertained angels without knowing it. Touch someone's heart today. Did you know that three people you don't know love you and respect you, and you'll never meet them? So say a prayer for them, because they're out there. Touch a butterfly. God bless you for listening today. May the angels build a hedge of protection around you and bring you back to me tomorrow. Thank you again. God bless you. Bye-bye.